Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
For farmers, there is always a downside to whatever the weather is doing. Yes, there has been great grass growth. Yes, the grain harvest is looking very promising this year. But conditions this summer have been ideal for the gastrointestinal parasites that are the scourge of many a farmer. Going from a period of severe heat to a period of rain in a matter of days suits the likes of the stomach and lungworm down to the ground. Eamon O'Connell, the Moo Vet from Summerhill Veterinary Clinic, joins me on the line now for more on this. Eamon, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Philip. I'm good, thank you.
Just how much do the stomach and lungworm like Irish weather right now?
Kind of like me going on holidays, they love the heat, but the extra, they love the moisture. So dry, arid weather and low temperatures, they hate. They can't reproduce, they can't multiply. But when it gets really moist and humid, when the ground is wet and when the temperature gets high, that's when they start to really push on and reproduce and cause trouble for our cattle and sheep.
And what do they do to the cattle and sheep?
Well, it depends on the worm, I suppose. The one we're dealing with at the moment a lot is lungworm, where they are on the pasture and the cows or the calves eat them up and they travel through the bloodstream into the lungs, and the adult lungworm are like little treads that you would see from offcuts from sowing. They multiply in the lungs and they fill the lungs up, and they grow and they reproduce within the lungs, and they cause them to cough and cough and cough. And if they're not treated and managed correctly, they can get secondary bacterial infections and lose weight, and you will ultimately have deaths, I suppose. But look, with modern antiparasitic treatments and with modern farming practices, with pasture management and stuff, we're managing to not get as far as the very negative effects.
And these antiparasitic treatments cannot be used as prevention. They can only be used after the fact of infection.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I suppose it's been a hot topic of late because we've got legislation from Europe that's going to push our antiparasitics to become a prescription, so our prescription-only product. So really, our farmers and our vets alike have become very much educated in the last while about how to use these. The cattle, when they're exposed in low amounts to parasites like stomach worms or lung worms, they'll develop their own immunity. No more than you or me, they get exposed to any bugs, and they'll fight off a lot of these parasites. And really, the dosing products or the antiparasitics are only used when that immune system can't fight it off and it comes to the stage where you have to treat a clinical condition, you know.
What's your own view on those restrictions on the use of these products and making them prescription only?
As I said, it's been a topic of much debate. Our own view is, while everything was going okay, and when I say okay, the parasites have developed and evolved their own life cycle over many years, but in the last couple of decades, they've evolved to being exposed to these dosing products, which we're not really making any more types of, similar to antibiotic resistance. So the parasites are getting clever, they're developing, and they're developing a resistance to these products. So I think in a timely fashion, hopefully on time, we've restricted their use, where we're starting to use a lot more testing and only use these products when they're really needed, on specific advice, so that we can have them in the future to treat clinical cases. Because I suppose there is the doomsday scenario that if it's left unchecked, parasites develop resistance entirely to some of these products and they won't work at all. And
so as inconvenient as all of this is for farmers, Eamon, basically if you accept the principle of antibiotic resistance and you understand that science, well then you also have to understand that this stuff should be used sparingly.
Yeah, very well put. That's exactly it. Yeah, if you understand the principle, well then the legislation and the new rules make perfect sense, as inconvenient as they are. But look, I think farmers are very proactive and they're very knowledgeable at the moment, and they know what has to be done, and they've already accepted what needs to be done. And like, a lot of them are being proactive by they're checking their animals and they're bringing in their samples and they're only dosing when they need it. So it's mildly inconvenient, but a positive overall, I think.
Now, you described the symptoms of lungworm very well there. Are the symptoms of stomach worm different, and how do you spot them?
They are different, yeah. I suppose younger animals in particular would suffer from stomach worms conditions at this time of year, where, not to disturb the morning radio, but it's nasty diarrhea, I suppose, where they start to lose weight, the stomach worms, the population grows within their gut and their intestines, and the stomach worms are feeding off of what the animal is eating. So the animal isn't getting its nutrition or its desired vitamins, minerals, etc. So it becomes thinner and thinner and thinner. If untreated, again, end result is to the point where they either get secondary infections or just die. But again, we're in the era now where farmers are really good at spotting these things. So if they see an animal that's has a bit of diarrhea out at pasture, they're thinking, okay, maybe it's got stomach worms. They bring in their samples and get checked and they treat accordingly.
And get that animal off the pasture, so if it does turn out to be positive for these parasites, that it hasn't infected that grassland.
Yeah, and we've become obsessed with the animal in this, and I suppose rightly so, because the animal is the end product for all our farmers. But the pasture management is the most important, because probably 70% of the parasites live on pasture, not in the animal. So if we can minimise the pollution of paddocks or in pastures with these parasites, and we can give them a break. Sometimes we advise, like, farmers are, again, clued in enough to know, right, that paddock has, our pasture has had a lot of traffic through it this year, when we've seen some infections in it of lungworm. So what they'll do is they'll come along and they'll leave that go fallow for a while, and they'll give it a break, maybe cut some silage off it and allow the parasites to die off and the population to trim back down. So it's okay to get animals back on again.
How long does that take? I mean, how long can these things survive on the pasture?
You see, I suppose if you get a really cold weather and dry weather, they'll die off pretty quickly. But we've seen a lot of mild winters over the last number of years. They can overwinter and they can survive in the pastures over the winter time. They can survive for a number of weeks where they hibernate. Like, they're evolving and they're becoming trickier and trickier to deal with. So we've had some cases where farmers have had to go in and reseed their pastures, where they've had to go in and plough them and turn the soil upside down to completely get rid of some heavily infected pastures.
Are these conditions, these weather conditions, good for liver fluke as well?
Yeah, they are, yeah. The liver fluke relies on, interestingly, a snail as part of its life cycle. So there's a couple of stages of the life cycle in the pasture where a stage of the liver fluke infects a little snail and stays within that snail until it grows to a certain point and comes out again. So snails obviously like mud, they like wet, they like nice and warm and moist and damp. So again, this weather is ideal for them. So once you've got ideal weather for what we call the intermediate host, which is the part of the life cycle that's outside of the bovine animal, well, then you've got ideal conditions for a lot of that liver fluke to develop on pasture and then be eaten up by the cow or the calf and turn into clinical disease later on this year.
Okay. And is there any different treatment for the pasture land, whatever, about the livestock with liver fluke?
Yeah, well, with the liver fluke in particular, especially in wetter parts of the country, farmers have been encouraged to identify areas that are really, really heavy wet and where there's a lot of snail population and just fence them off and stop the animals accessing those. So, like, farmers will know they probably have maybe a 10-acre field and one corner that's only maybe a couple of feet by a couple of feet is really, really wet. Well, let's just pull the fence back out of there so your cattle aren't going in around where there's lots and lots of snails. And all these little things help, might seem...
It does, but
trivial,
there's always
but
the risk,
help.
Isn't there, of being penalised by the Department of Agriculture if you take these areas out of active farming?
That doesn't help, yeah. That doesn't help. That's another can of worms, Philip, maybe for another day.
I know, and yeah. I shouldn't have opened it up just before 11 o'clock because I have to go over
maybe
to
not.
The news.
Yeah.
Eamon, thank you very much for some very timely advice there.